The timer. All right, we are calling to order the November 30th Administrative Control Board meeting for Mountain Regional Water. I hear we have, oh wait, so we do have public. So Judy, you want to go ahead and start the presentation, please?
Yes. So back in 2022, we hired Zion Public Finance to perform a rate study for us. As part of that rate study, they project out several years, help us forecast what rates would be. So at the 2022 rate study, they suggested what we did last year with the increase to base and usage tiers, but as you may recall, it's more of a conservation minded, so we increased the tiers more than we did the high usage tiers more than we did the low usage tiers. The rate model for 2024 said an 8% increase should be in place. For this year, we've done that across base and usage tiers, so it'll be equal. The district, we took the rate model, updated it with our growth and usage we saw this year, and confirmed that the 8% seems to still be in order for 2024. And you may recall when she was doing that rate model, we had already been talking about the new building, so that was built in. So that's helped why this rate is working that way. I think when we look at 2025, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we may look at doing a more of a conservation-minded increase again instead of just a flat 8 across the tiers. In the resolution, the draft resolution we have, at the back of that, you can see the tiers, our current rates and what the rates would be. Chris, if you could scroll down a little bit in that exhibit. So for example, the base of 66.75 would go to 72.09, and then you can see how that all is just an 8% increase across all the tiers. The same for the water, that's residential, commercial, so it follows that pattern. Our standby fee also goes up by 8%. The one thing that we're not covering tonight, but I mentioned in the memo, is we're just finishing the high elevation pumping surcharge rate study. That is actually completed now, but we didn't have enough noticing time, so we will do that in our December 14th board meeting. Those have stayed very similar to just a little more differentiation in some zones, but sorry, didn't hit myself. So all the way down, Chris, you can just kind of scroll through. So that's why the irrigation rates, the water rates for interruptible sources, this is, for example, when they come in to get a water meter and they're paying that $16.20 per 1,000 gallons. The pumping surcharge rates for the month of January would at least stay the same as they are right now, with the colony at $240.78. In our next meeting, we'll talk about those. Yeah, right where Chris is right now on that presentation.
Steve, I don't understand. So there will we have another public hearing to talk about the high elevation rate?
Yes, we were hoping to be able to do it all tonight, the high elevation and the impact fee, but there was some last minute updates to the IFFP that changed a few of those things. So that's why we weren't able to do it tonight, and that's why we're going to have another meeting on December 13th. As you saw in the budget presentation last month, this generates these rates of 1.49 ratio. As you may recall, we have to hit at least 1.25, and we're usually, you don't want to cut that too close. So it seems a good balance between generating the cash we need to make sure we can cover all our debt payments, but not being too onerous for our customers at this point in time. So that is mine and the district's recommendation that we move forward with the 8% rate increase as was proposed in the rate study from Zion in 2022, and that we've confirmed with what we saw in 2023. Any questions?
What about doing it all once next month?
We thought about that, but we'd already got this meeting scheduled and had this all queued up and ready to go. We had originally hoped to do all of it tonight, so we'd only have to have one meeting between the holidays. But unfortunately, due to those changes, we were not able to. So we thought at least the best way we could get this out of the way and then focus on the high elevation and impact fees, because we'll have two rates we're talking about on December 14th, the impact fee rate and also the high elevation pumping surcharge rate.
So do we have any further discussion from the public?
We do. We have one person wanting to make a comment. Deborah, you're free to go.
She needs to identify herself.
Yep. Hi, my name's Deborah Lawler, and I live in Summit Park. I've lived here for about just over 25 years, I guess, since 1998. And before that, I lived in town, Park City, for 5 years. So when I moved to Park City, I moved from Salt Lake City. And right off the bat, it was evident that we pay a lot more money up here for water than folks do along the Wasatch Front. I have a brother who lives in Manoway, Utah, so just up the canyon from Brigham City. And I have another brother who lives in Farmington, Utah. So when I saw that we were going to be considering rate hikes, I got on the phone with them because I've complained about the costs for water up here for quite a few years. So I decided I wanted to just try to get a handle on how much more we're paying. So for instance, Manoway, my brother who lives just up from Brigham City, he pays $31 a month for up to 10,000 gallons of water. So if we were to break that down and try to make it apples to apples for our water, that's basically you take the 31 and divide it in half for that first tier up to 5,000 gallons. He's paying $15.50 for the first 5,000 gallons. There's no sort of a base fee that he pays. He pays that $31 period. There's no extra money that he pays out of his taxes except for Bear River Water Conservancy District, whereas we're paying Weber Basin Water Conservancy out of our taxes. So he's paying significantly less. There's, again, not a base fee. If you normalize it and you take the wet water coming out of our taps and look at it compared to what he's paying, we're paying about the same amount for wet water coming out of our taps. That's the $2.16 per 1,000 gallons for up to 5,000 gallons, plus the 78 cents. So if you add that together, it comes to $2.94. Times that by 10,000, or times that by 10 for the 10,000 gallons, that would be $29.40 for wet water coming out of my tap. But on top of that, I'm paying $72.09 for some sort of administrative fee, outrageous, that he doesn't pay. So it's a similar story in Farmington. My younger brother's paying $23.70 a month for wet water coming out of his tap up to 5,000 gallons. So the difference is, my older brother's paying an extra 80 cents for the wet water. My younger brother's paying an extra $9. I'm paying $72.09. I don't understand why our water costs so much. It seems to me the management of this up here is out of control. And there's no way of looking at it because those fees that they're paying monthly, significantly less than me, includes paying their water people staff, and it's including the maintenance. So what are we doing wrong up here? I think we need to look closer at this and maybe look at what other water districts are doing and get our water bills lowered and normalized across the Wasatch front and across the Wasatch back. I don't think we should be making any decisions today.
I'm sorry, you said your name is Deborah?
My name's Deborah.
Deborah, okay. Deborah, my name is Andy Garland, and I'm the general manager here. I don't know the intricacies of Manaway or Farmington, what their water systems are. But I can tell you about Mountain Regional. As you know, we live in a mountainous community. We're bringing water up in from Rockport, having to pump that water, treat it, and distributing it in the system. Mountain Region was formed in the early 2000s, and we've acquired different water companies over time. And as a result of acquiring those different water districts, the district has had to take on debt. So the fixed charge that you're seeing every month, we need to make sure that we can collect that amount to cover our operating expenses and our debt service. I don't know specifically where you are in Summit Park, but you're probably up over 6,000 feet in elevation.
We're down Aspen Drive. The whole subdivision's above 6,000 feet at Summit Park.
So, you know, we have, you know, water does have to get pumped up there, but Mountain Regional service area is about the size of Salt Lake City. But we only have about 5,000 people connections that are paying the cost to maintain a system that covers that large an area. And so it's hard to compare Farmington. I don't know what the population is in Farmington, how many people they can spread the cost over, the same for Manaway. So it's not all water systems are created equal. So it's hard to make a comparison water system to water system. But when we do look at the rates and when we do look at increases, you know, we're mindful of the end user and what they're paying. The state several years ago put in a mandate that all water companies that service over, I can't even remember what the number is now. I think it's over 500, has to have a regressive rate structure. So the more water you use, the higher the rate that you pay. Well, again, in to maintain our debt service ratio, our coverage that we're required for the bond holders, we need to guarantee that income. And in order to do that, we have the fixed cost every month. The only way you can control a water bill beyond that is based on what you use. I don't know if that answers your question, but it's really difficult to compare system to system to system. Because I could go to Park City and compare Park City's rates to us. They're a little higher. Maybe Gorgoza is a little lower. Summit Water, you know, is somewhere in the middle. But Gorgoza and Summit Water are also mutual water companies. So they're all just a little bit different.
Well, when you look at wet water coming out of the tap and the costs for the wet water coming out of the tap are pretty similar across Manaway, Farmington, and us, and the only difference is this $7,209 base fee. And if some of that is some sort of a debt service, then we ought to know what that debt is and when it's going to be paid off. The operating costs, I would imagine, are included in those monthly charges that are happening in these other places and should therefore be included in our monthly wet water costs.
What's the population of Farmington?
Farmington is part of Davis County, so their water is done through the county there. Plus, they have water, secondary water that comes out of Pine View, so that they can water their lawns in the summer for a set fee. So that's something like totally different. They don't have to use their treated water on their lawns.
Yeah, so my guess is the customer base up there is much larger than what it is here. So they're able to spread their costs over more people. Where here, we're limited to the number of people that we can charge for that. And so you're going to see a slight increase just because your denominator is lower.
Well, and then so then you look at Manaway, which is much smaller.
And again, I don't know what the source is. I don't know what their pumping costs. I don't know what their electrical costs are. I don't know what their treatment. Do they treat water? Do they not treat water? I mean, it's hard to compare water.
The other question I have is Summit Park, when we moved here, we have our own water up on the hill before back in early 2000, we merged with Mountain Regional and got our water over by the reservoir. I imagine some of our water is still being used. It's supposedly being blended. So where's the savings for Summit Park for that water? Residents.
Well,
as discovery, as
so as new projects come on, like Discovery, like Promontory, like Silver Creek Village, all of those people are paying impact fees to the district to offset or to pay for the impact that they have on the system.
And we did that here in Summit Park. We had to pay an impact fee when we built our house.
Yeah, but I also will say that from a system expenditure side, the district, and please don't take this wrong, spends a disproportionate amount of money on repairs and improvements in Summit Park versus any other area of the district.
And we understand that. I remember when we moved into Summit Park, we had to help pay off a bond because the system had supposedly just been revamped, but we still have all kinds of problems. So we paid this bond, we paid to get some repairs done, and we still don't have a good system.
You have the oldest part of the system, and so this past summer we did waterline replacements on Woodland. We replaced a tank up on Crestview. We spent over $3 million alone in Summit Park this calendar year. And so because of things like that, the district has to maintain the system. And we look at places that we can proactively make replacements. But unfortunately, when a leak happens, and I can tell you, and I can't tell you off the top of my head, but we've probably had 20 plus leaks in Summit Park in 2023.
Well, there's a patch that needs to be repaired right in front of my house right now.
And there are costs associated with that.
Yeah.
And to make those repairs and costs. Now, right now, because of the weather, you might not have a perfect patch until the asphalt plants open back up in the spring. But
we don't have a patch. We just have a dirt hole.
Okay, and it may be because the plant is closed and it may just be road-based for the winter.
I don't know. I don't know if that's where they just replaced the valve.
I don't know specifically where you live on Aspen, but we spent many a night and long weekend. But those costs, the only way for us to pay for those things is through rates and putting money aside for a capital replacement plan. And all of those things, come with a price tag.
Sure, and they do in Farmington and Manaway as well. And they're not paying near what we're paying.
Again, without knowing the specifics of those systems, I can't comment on what their customer base is, the age of their system, the source of their system, their electrical costs.
I guess what I'm trying to say is maybe we need to be doing an analysis. Not just Zion coming in and saying we need an 8% increase. That's what I'm going to do. I'll get on there and I'll do an analysis and I'll come back and I'll share it with you. Because it's outrageous. The amount we pay every month for water is outrageous. And $4.75 increase doesn't sound like a lot, but it is when you're already paying a lot. I've got to the point where I wash my clothes once a month, three loads. I try not to use a lot of water. I don't flush my toilet every time I use it because I'm trying not to spend more than I have to for water. And then here we come asking for another $5. It's just nuts. It's nuts. And it's because of that 7209. And if it's part of a debt service, we need to know what the debt is and when it's going to be paid off.
Deborah, if you'll share with us your email, I can send you a debt schedule.
Sure. We should all have that debt schedule.
It's on our website. In our financial statements we post every year, you can see the debt that we carry as a district. And it also will talk about the payments we have to make every year.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me speak tonight.
Deborah, we appreciate your input, and we like to have people involved in the public process. So thank you for coming to our meeting and speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Mike had a good question. Do we need to go into a public input session?
Yeah, you probably just said that we're opening up to public hearing. You've already taken one comment.
Okay. Well, we're opened up to the public hearing. Do we have any other public comments?
We do not.
Okay. Do we have to make a motion to close?
As the chair can close the public hearing.
Okay. I move to close the public hearing and move on to the consideration and possible approval of the 2024 water rates and fee schedule. Do we have any further discussion? Does anyone want to make a motion to?
Just as a quick point, I tend to agree with Deborah that, I don't think for the standard water user, single family household, our rate schedule does not incentivize water conservation. I think when you get to the upper echelons, it certainly does. But in a community that is largely environmentally focused and water conservation is on KPCW every day, it seems. I do feel like we may have some work to do there to perhaps incentivize the lower end users, to conserve water through a rate schedule adjustment in that way. I do think that the analysis done here is, adequate, at this point with our current financial situation, I'm in favor. But as we go forward, I think that would definitely be a direction that the district should consider.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with you. Do we have a motion to move forward with the 2024 rate schedule?
So moved.
Okay, do we have a second?
I will second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed?
Where are you on this?
I'm going to just abstain.
Okay, so we have 4 in favor and Joel is abstaining. So we will, at the next meeting, we will talk about the last two, the high elevation and the impact fee.
Correct. Thank you. Appreciate everyone's input, and we'll take your comments into consideration as we look at rates for the future.
So Dave, did that pass with or an abstention?
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Does anyone have any question on the meeting minutes or the check register?
Chief Register.
No, I'll let you guys go first.
Electro power, white pine pump number 2, soft start. $11,000. What was the repair?
Replaced it. Yeah, it was an old 2000 soft start, so it kind of burned out and had to get it going.
Okay. Waterford Services, the Hidden Creek, Sun Peak well pump. Hidden Creek Sun Peak well pump.
That was meters. We bought 2 meters, one for Hidden Creek and one for Sun Peak.
Okay.
There's Siemens meters.
Next question. Well, next thing is just an observation. We had a whole bunch of refund security deposits. That's just
people connecting and getting their deposit back.
Really? But that seems like a big uptick this month.
Well, you would expect as we're getting closer to Christmas, all these houses that have been under construction, you know, everyone wants to be in for Christmas. So you're going to see a lot of houses completing and then.
Or the stuff flies.
Yeah.
Back. Well, cool. Anyone who built in Cedar Creek Village that didn't have all their irrigation in weren't given their refunds until they had all their irrigation in, all their backflow assemblies in. So you probably will see a whole lot coming up as people completed that this summer.
Okay.
And I think they've gotten like a dozen COs in the Silver Creek Village area in last month.
Okay. And then on the ESRI payment, Esri, that's annual.
Yeah.
And how many licenses is that?
Is that the $800 fee?
$11,500.
Oh, so that's,
or sorry. Yeah, $11,500.
So that's the whole suite license for everybody. There is an additional $800-$900 that are specific for iPad users for being able to edit data.
Okay.
But that's the additional. So that's the main meat of everything that we use.
So it's not a set number of licenses. It's like all of Mountain Regional.
It's a couple thousand licenses.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, yep. Great. Those are my questions.
Okay. Did anyone else have any questions on the check register? I had a few as well. Looked like we had another 5,000 with Audie Wheeler.
Yeah. Four properties, 5131 and 5132 on East Meadows Drive, and then 1447 and 1452 on Willow. So kind of combined areas, four houses that they had to go in and do some sprinkler and irrigation after we've done some removal.
Okay. And then what is a Percada system for $3,700?
Camera systems that we installed for security at the treatment plant and at Lost Canyon.
Yeah, there were additional cameras for the intake at the Weaver Basin facility and inside the Weaver Basin pump station. So we have visual access to those while the guys down there are operating that stuff going through this winter.
Right. And what is a DOT physical? Is that Department of Transportation?
Yeah. For the gentleman who has CDLs.
The annual role.
Yeah.
And then we reinstalled a pump for $34,000.
That was the Nickerson pump up in.
What was it?
Nickerson pump that went bad. They covered it under warranty, but they still had to pull. They covered the motor under warranty, but they still had to pull the pump.
Thought it was the Gulch well.
That one was $12,000.
Yeah, there's another one for almost $13,000 on the Gulch well. I just wondered if the $34,000 is covered, like, is it in our budget?
It was. We always put aside about $150,000 for pump repairs in a year because they can run 30 to 50 if you have to pull one and get it done. So that was, it was still in our budget, didn't push us over budget or anything like that. But yeah, it was still an expensive repair.
And then we had something to USA Blue Book called trash and water pumps.
So trash,
those are trash pumps.
When there's a leak, the pump that we put in the hole is called a trash pump.
Gotcha. So we're not pumping trash.
It's trash water. Okay. Trash, muddy.
They're made to pump mud in the state.
so welcome to this.
They do, they do. Okay, and then that's the CDL. There was a Marshall's Industrial Hardware on the credit card for $633.
That's nuts and bolts.
They're special stainless steel bolts, so they don't rust out, that we put in the PRV stations. Or
yeah, right. A lot of spots.
A lot of spots.
And I don't know, there was a reimbursement to William Alderman for $789.
So that's the
bill, yeah. Oh, on the credit card?
Yes, on the credit
card. It's actually his mechanic shop in Colville where we had a truck repaired. So his merchant account is just under his own name, not under the repair shop, but that's what that is.
Okay, that's all I've got.
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
In general, are we seeing any vandalism of any of our, I know we have cameras in different areas, but are we experiencing any untoward activities?
No.
So you're not?
We had a truck out back that, you know, ended up getting broken, but was that vandalism or an accident? We don't know.
Okay. It's rare.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, we're graffiti free and,
yeah, the one spot that used to get tagged was the well where the trailhead is over,
over on Highland.
Yeah, over on Highland. That's been years since that's been hit.
So we're not worried about any sabotage or, unkindly actions.
We are worried, but fortunately we're not seeing. So it is something that we look at. And, you know, we were talking in our admin meeting, reminding the people that were here during the Olympics, everything that everyone had to go through. And I think we'll be going back to that exercise, sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
That's why we installed the cameras where we have, because we're worried about vandalism in the plant, Lost Canyon, especially with place back here. So we have cameras at those sites.
And we've added gates this year as well to reduce traffic around some facilities. So it's something we're cognizant of.
Okay. My other statement is basically, you know, as much as we can disclose to the public, the better. I mean, no one likes to pay bills. I mean, we'll just be honest with each other. I mean, I'm not saying the water rates are good or bad or indifferent, but I think the more information we share with the public, the better off we're going to be. I mean, I don't know if that lady's still on, but she's very interesting, let's put it that way. I'll keep my mouth shut.
No, I mean, it's a fair statement, Joel, and we post things, we post, you know, physical notices on the windows as you're coming in, we put in bill notices, we post things on our website, Lisa posts things to the state. We meet all of the reporting requirements. I think the ACB does a great job on scrutinizing and representing. It's, you know, it's the balance of living in a area that's that costs the cost of living here is higher than other parts the state.
Oh yeah.
The needs of the system growing. We're having to add staff to address these issues, and unfortunately, if we want people to live here, we have to pay a competitive wage to keep them here, and all of that adds up, and our costs add up. I mean, you know, the cost for woodland, the cost for the treatment plant, the projections, the engineers' estimates, and I like to say we can trust engineers, but they missed it this year on the cost because things are going up, and as we're going into the building, we're being very conscientious about we cannot go over. We don't have room. And we're trying to be frivolous and frugal, but also have a place that
will represent the district for the next 50 years. So.
Look, I'm not criticizing. No. I don't want anyone to take that I'm criticizing. But all I'm really saying is the more we disclose, the less people can criticize us. And we don't need to be criticized. Look, we all know, and I'm not going to bring up Sovereign Park, but Sovereign Park is a freaking mess. I mean, from a vacation getaway place to full-time residence, I mean, it's changed 180%. You know, it's ridiculous. I just say we could do a better job maybe communicating.
Sure.
We're still going to have criticism. I understand that. I'm not that naive. Maybe I am. But by the same token, like I said, we just need to appease these people as best we can.
Yep. No, we're, okay. We're always willing to talk. And
yep. Yep. And I'm not going to say anything else.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mike was just looking up Manaway's water quality report, you know, comparing it. I mean, you know, I feel for anyone that, you know, that feels crammed down by this process, because I just spent the afternoon arguing with my HOA, they're raising our dues $100 and, you know, pissed about it, right? You know, you just, if you don't feel like you know who made the decisions that come up to it, you know, you can feel very angry about it.
Mike, what's the source of Manaway water?
They've got a girls' camp spring, a Bloom Hollow spring, and they just drilled a well.
So three sources.
And two of them are springs. Yeah. So no pumping charges.
No pumping charges at all.
Apples and oranges. Mm-hmm.
But it might be apples and spaceships.
Yeah. And there's a note in here that they've been determined to be from groundwater sources. So that says that they're concerned about that. And then that's a completely different.
Yep.
Yeah, I think when we compare ourselves to Park City and our rates are very favorable to Park City's, that they feel comfortable. It's a better comparison to what we're dealing with up here, like the pumps and the moving the water as much as we have to and things like that, and the cost of
it. Doesn't just come out of the ground.
Yeah.
And right. So, it's one of the largest districts, you know.
And our wells are bedrock wells. They're not alluvial, deep-seated, you know, valley fill wells. So a complete difference in specific capacity between those two. So we could write a memo if needed to.
Yeah. Anyway, I do think we should respond as completely as possible to her so that she feels like she's being heard.
Well, and I think we can look. I mean, for 2025, we can look at those rates again and see what we want to do with base and pushing it more into the tiers. Trouble is, then we risk them, those people coming out of those tiers, and we don't get the revenue. So then it even pushes it more back into base. So it is a balancing act between how much you can put into a base and how much you can put in the usage tiers. Because if you put too much in the usage tiers, you drive people out of them. Put too much in base, you get people are upset. But the other thing, and it's not for, but the second homes, if they only paid on usage and didn't have a base charge, a lot of second homes wouldn't pay much in their water bills. Whereas they put a lot of pressure when they are in town and need to use, and the infrastructure still has to run from their home. That's the other different dynamic. If you're in a very stable, single, you know, primary resident, everything in Farmington, you know what everybody's going to use. So you can put it all in usage. Up here, where people are in and out of town and things like that, it makes the rate modeling different.
At a commercial base.
Yeah. But so,
we don't have.
I mean, I think it's good for us to discuss. It would have probably been a little bit more for than she could have quite understood, but. But there are definitely some dynamics of that we're trying to manage and people's behavior and make sure we don't run too much of a risk of trying to get it all out of usage, because that could be a slippery slope.
Yeah, so, definitely.
You know what's also interesting is is, and obviously everybody knows this, but I mean, the development is crazy between Washoe County, Summit County. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, every time I go someplace, there's more stuff being built. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't want to pontificate, but I mean, we need to get some kind of control over this, or, and I'm not saying this as a finality, but we need to address the issue of growth. I mean, it's ridiculous. Can we handle not just Mountain Regional, but can water be had by other people or other companies? I mean, what are we doing to control this growth and not run out of water? And I'm asking a rhetorical question. I don't expect an answer.
Wait, and I need to give you a little answer from my perspective. Unfortunately, we're not the ones that control growth.
No, I understand.
We are told.
I understand.
And, you know, we forecast the best we can. And the question is, you know, can you accommodate the growth in your current area? And I think the answer to that is yes. If our area expands, that's a different story. But today, here and now, we're in good shape.
All right. I'll be quiet.
You're good. We like your questions.
Well, I just think this growth is out of control.
We put real estate agents out of business.
I don't give a shit. I mean, Kimball Junction is a freaking mess. I mean, everybody knows it, but no one's willing to do anything about it. And that's on you. I mean, Park City growing like crazy. Mayflower, Camas, Francis. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just beyond comprehension. And I'm not saying you, but we need to get control of this. I'm all for development. By the same token, I'm more concerned about water than I am anything else. Yeah. I mean, great. So we have these beautiful, beautiful homes. Big deal. You know, they all use water, and everybody doesn't want to try to conserve.
Oh, but that, you know, Lisa spent a lot of time with the turf removal and conservation messaging, and, you know, we're trying to do our part. And conversely, those that don't want to participate in conservation, they're going to pay for it.
Well, I'm just going to say that they need to.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they should be penalized, but by the same token, if they don't give a rat's meow, screw them. I mean, I'm being really blunt. I can go on and on. I'll be quiet.
Okay.
All right. With that, do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda as discussed.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous. Okay, our next item is consideration of a recommendation to the governing board to approve updates to the 2023 proposed amended budget and the 2024 tentative budget.
So after our presentation, the presentation in October, we do have a couple of adjustments. The first one is operating revenue is going to come in even shorter than we thought. That irrigation season getting cut off in September, there's usually a little bit of usage that rolls into October, non-existent. So we've adjusted that. Fortunately, we do have the savings and expenses to coincide with it. So again, it'll be a net zero to the budget, but we have to make that amendment. The other was, since we did issue the bond on November 3rd, now we're going to start accruing interest expense, like any loan, but we also have invested that to make interest earnings. So to recognize that portion of the, you know, 31 plus 27 days or whatever,
we're putting that in the 2023 budget. So that was the other amendment. The income and the expense go into 2023. And so that's the other amendment. As we also got into the bond a little bit more, you may recall we at one point had planned on putting $17 million towards the building and office and things like that, and $1 million towards the treatment plant. The bond requires the $18 million go towards the building, which is fine because we're paying a lot for the land, and the infrastructure can cover all those costs too. So we're just making sure, showing that all $18 million going to that, and the $1 million will come from impact fees for the treatment plant and cash from previous periods. So there are a few, they're kind of minor changes, but they kind of ripple through the numbers, but that's really the only thing that has changed since the last time we presented it to you. If you want to pull up the presentation for just a second, Chris, as you may recall, maybe scroll down, we talked about changing this graph. So did that, made it blue and green, where the blue was potable water, the green was irrigation or raw water, changed the graph below that, like the bar went a little bit down there to kind of coincide, so that was a little easier to see. All the potable water was the bottom, all the raw water above. And then go ahead and scroll down to where it changed numbers. Well, that's interesting. So that was the kind of the before, and the next slide is the after. So I've highlighted the numbers that did change just to say, so it was easily identifiable. This is where basically the shortfall, the 380,000, that used to be 250. And so that went down. The revenue interest earnings went up from 34,700 to 184,700, because we're going to make about $75,000 a month in interest on that, on those funds until we start spending them. So this is what I've got for the council to, they probably won't have us go through it, but I'm prepared just in case. Go ahead and scroll up.
So this is kind of a side note. So when did the bond close?
November 3rd.
And so how did that go?
Went really well. I mean, this was a lot easier than a public placement bond. It was all decided. We didn't have to wait for bids to come in and people to actually buy the bonds. The bank committed to it.
It was the Bank of
Utah. Bank of Utah ended up really good. And
bought it all.
Just bought it all. They're just carrying it.
Just went right into the checking account.
Yep. Yeah. It went right in. They asked us where we wanted it. We said, put it in the PTIF. It's making 5.5%.
Yeah. And then our rate on the loan is how much?
It varies. Overall, it's about 5.1, 5.15.
It's kind of wash.
Yeah, so we're actually, we could actually be making money for a little money, a little more than what we'd be paying. The expenses kind of showing that we do have the savings, so the 380 match, and then the interest expense for having that bond this year also had to go up. So just kind of matches everything through, and that's fine. And made a couple of changes in what the projections would be. It's a little more expense this year. Actually, a little less expense next year, because some of that interest expense, instead of it all being in 2024, I can now recognize some of it in 2023. The payment on June 15th doesn't change. It's just some accounting when you recognize the expense. And capital projects, that just shows how now all the $18 million will go to the administrative office and maintenance facility. And then $1 million will come out of impact fees and cash available from previous years. So, I mean, there's always a little bit, you always get some new numbers, some things happen, and we closed an $18 million bond between presentation and now. So just had to make sure that was all correct. And then this is kind of just the summary of all that. So feel comfortable about it. The first presentation went well, and usually the second one is quick, but cross your fingers. Last year.
So the net position, it didn't change by 18 million.
Oh no, that's kind of your net income when you take expenses, what you're going to pay out in your expenses.
Yeah.
Cause 18 million, I guess if you want to talk about changing that position, you now have an asset worth $18 million, but you also have a liability for $18 million. So it doesn't increase your net worth. It just means Now we have an asset, but we owe on it too.
To recognize.
Yeah.
And the true amount, the net proceeds was $17,910,000
is what was deposited. Because Zions takes their cut, the attorneys take their cut, you know, everybody gets their pound of flesh a little bit. As you had helped us know and research that even more, Mike, so.
Okay.
All right. Any questions about the budget or kind of the changes that took place since last time I presented it to you? We'll let you know how December 6th goes as soon as it goes.
Do we need to make an official recommendation?
I think we already did that before we went the first time.
Okay.
Unless on the budget amendment.
Dave?
It's written up as a consideration to recommend in notes.
It would be bad to actually do it.
Do we have a motion to recommend to the governing? So the governing board would be the county council.
County council.
Okay, a recommendation to the governing board to approve updates to the 2023 proposed amended budget and the 2024 tentative budget.
You're so nice to read that. So moved.
All right, all in favor.
Aye.
Fantastic. Unanimous again. Okay. And Steve, you're still up.
I'm still up, but I think this is it. So update through October. We're about 1.2 million better than budget. As you can see, about half of it, so 590,000 comes from revenue being above budget and 631,000 comes from expenses being below budget. Go down a little bit, that revenue one. The retail water sales was 252,000 under budget. Voluntary raw water, 147,000 under budget. Again, short irrigation season. Fortunately, interest rates really helped us out this year. So in that other revenue, the $676,000 that were over budget is almost all interest income. If we really had to, if interest income had played out how we budgeted, we'd be under budget overall for revenue. But fortunately, we lost some, we gained, made some.
Interest on the PETA account?
About 5.4, 5.5 right now.
It's generated by the funds in the PETA account is what?
PETA, yes. Yeah, it's basically a fund that the state has set up so that government entities can invest at a better rate than banks would give them, but it's within the money management approvals. So we don't have to go out and try to find a bunch of CDs and treasury bills and do all that ourselves. We can just put it in this government managed account and it does a lot better than it would in a bank, let's say, or a little better.
Is it retirement funds or?
No, it's just for government, only government entities can use it. It's all cash.
Savings account.
It's like a savings account, but that pays.
But it could be in short-term treasuries. They could have things that are laddered out because I would assume it's billions at the state level that we're just a part of.
And we're required to use them, right?
We can do other things. They have a list of things we could do. Like if we wanted to go out and buy CDs ourselves or do some kind of other investment in treasury bills, we could do that because those are approved. But we get all the perks of that with a PTIF, really, and none of the management fees.
Gotcha.
So there's quite a little management fee built into that.
Or a built-in management fee. Yeah, somebody's making money somewhere, but it's
our cash.
It's our cash. And it's what the county uses to stash their cash. It's what almost all government entities will stash cash in there.
Did better than we thought. So
that's
great.
And typically you said that is better than open market. Like if we went.
Currently
it is. Yep.
Sometimes they're a little slow getting in, but then your earnings are a little better coming out because of the way they invest is what we've been, how it's been explained to us.
Okay.
So that's that. The expenses, we continue to do well, about 631,000 in total expenses. Some of that is depreciation, but a lot of, power costs, as you may recall, we're not sending as much water. We don't use as much power. So we have some significant savings there. We have some savings in salaries and wages. Part of that, as you may recall, last year we budgeted 5% merit. They only gave us 3%, but that was already in the budget. So that's kind of that slide. That's cash. So of that 24.8 million, probably about 23 million of that is in PTIF, to be honest. between what Zions holds for us, what we hold, because we keep maybe $500,000 to $1 million kind of in our own checking accounts, not earning anything. But I'm constantly moving money in and out to make as much as we can out of on the interest on that. Then scroll down a little, Chris. Customer growth. We are up to 132 at the end of October. As you may recall, the budget, we're projecting 140. November's been a little slow. We've only gotten four. So 140 is going to be tight, but I think we're going to make it. But we're fine on intact fees. We're at the 808, 414. Budget was 600. And Promontory is up to 31. Promontory, I just sent them their bills for the year for the bond that they help us pay and also for their water lease fees for next year. They had sold enough properties in previous years along with properties they had this year. We already have the cash, basically. So we're just going to pull it out of the fund, and Promontory just has to pay a little, like an interest charge for the last 6 months. But that's good. Because some, back in the day, often Promontory would have to come up a lot of money at the end of the year because they hadn't sold enough lots. Now they're ahead of the game a little bit for a while. Usage. So if we just look at that first column, MRW, October, we're 26.5% below historical what we would have done in October. Again, nothing. You know, usage outside was gone by October 1st, which isn't usually the case. For the whole year, we're about 11% under the four-year average and just a little bit over 20. So the 1,572 acre feet, last year we were 1,529. So basically that's just growth. Per connection, we're almost spot on to where we were last year. All right.
So how much water is Summit Water going to have to take in December?
So Summit Water and Park City will both take a lot to make snow. Okay. Summit Water will get to their 700 acre feet almost for sure. And Park City, they stopped. They can get up to 2,900, but they were afraid they were going to run out. So that's why they stopped a couple months ago, kind of taking much. And now they've ramped up a lot this month.
They started this last month.
So okay. We'll have a lot of water going out to those guys this last couple of months. And, famous graph. I can just call it famous because
it is famous. It's totally famous. Take it.
The blue, we're actually back to 2021 levels basically because of the dropped usage. Even with the growth, we weren't able to get back above. So, but that's where it ended up. And this is that monthly. It wasn't too bad. Everything was a little bit under. Standby fees was a little bit more. As you may recall, we've been charging Matt Lowe full freight. So when we gave him the deal, it decreased. We had to adjust that. So that's why standby fees isn't closer to its budget for October, because that's where we kind of had to absorb the adjustments with him. But now going forward, we'll be fine. All right. Any questions about the budget for October?
Just to be clear, the negotiations with Matt Lowe ended where we had established.
Yes, 50% on whatever the rate is going forward. Okay. So the new rate's going up to from 40 to 45 something. He's going to be paying half of 45 something.
Great.
All right.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Next up is consideration of a recommendation to the governing board to approve updates to the impact fee facility plan. Sam.
So this was noticed as it to be reapproved, but I don't believe we need to. When we were going through the IFFP, there were two errors, typos, is what Bowen Collins called them, on table two. The level of service was listed at less than 100, so that needed to be addressed and adjusted to 100, so that was the one change. There were also some footnote updates on what the Promontory SID had previously paid. And then on table eight, there was the projected peak day demand was also adjusted.
What was the net result? How much did the impact fee change?
So the impact fee will go up because the denominator went down. So
If we were looking at about 12 or 13,000 for one ERC, we're looking more like 16 and a little bit now. We're impact for one ERC.
It's like a third of it.
Yeah. And that kind of helps uncover it as we started to go through the IFA, that as they plugged that in and then Keith got involved, he noticed that, hey, this, what's in the IFFP isn't what's in the spreadsheets. So somebody could just copy the wrong table in. And since all Zions has to work off of is the report, they were using the numbers in the tables in the report, not the spreadsheet, because they don't have the spreadsheet.
Zions set the impact fee based on
the report.
Calls.
Exactly, because they have to be separated.
Yeah, and so initially Zions was at about 12 on the impact fee, and it was to 16.
Yeah,
so pretty soon.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there were a couple of, you know, a denominator dropping by a little bit can change your result a lot. And so that kind of is what has happened.
No, it's embarrassing. It slipped through. It's a good thing we caught it. And the impact fee will still turn out, you know.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Happened, but
what was it before?
They were just rough graphs right now. Right.
No,
now,
what is it today? You're asking, what is it today, Mike?
Like 16,500. I just.
What are people paying today if they
can? Oh, the current $8,794.
Wow. So it's at two times.
About two times.
It's eight current.
The one nice thing about how they're doing it this time is it'll be, I think we all feel it'll be a little more equitable because we're breaking it down to indoor usage and outdoor usage based on irrigation. So a customer that comes in with a large landscape plan, even if it's meeting county ordinance, will pay more than they would have before. Whereas somebody who's just a, you know, 2,500 square foot house, not much landscaping and things like that, their impact fee is a little more skewed down for them now. So again, trying to push conservation and also those who force demand pay for it is now part of our impact fee and have a bigger impact fee.
Okay.
Just like what we're kind of trying to do with usage.
And it also indirectly affects Promontory, not the amount that is sent back to Promontory, but the district will be able to keep more of a higher impact fee. There are some things that have been recognized that weren't previously. It's $40 here, $40 there.
But it's mainly the treatment plant that they, Promontory, needs to buy into the new source. Okay. And since that's part of the plan going forward.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, I'm grateful we caught it and were able to fix it before the new rates were established.
Yeah.
For the new fee was established.
No, it is good. And I think, you know, you give them all the information, but we're not perfect, and they just happen to have an error in the table, and it's buried enough that it's, you know, I wouldn't point the finger at anybody here. I'm just saying it was good that through all the efforts of everybody, it kind of came out, let's say.
Okay, so we are on to, are we going to go over the, are we going to, like, I don't see that on the agenda, but the employee survey that was just up. Is that going to be under Andy? Okay.
Do we still need to make that recommendation?
You don't need to make a recommendation.
Yeah, I thought you said that.
Yeah, it was put on there when we weren't sure, but
gotcha.
We just have to take it back to council and have it.
It will go back to council for their review of the changes. Not in a public hearing session, but before that on December 6th.
Okay.
So they'll review the changes.
And then in our December meeting, we'll formally approve that, or we'll have the public input on that?
December 14th meeting, the impact fee analysis will be presented, and we'll review that with you in its entirety. It is almost completed, I think. We just got an email from Keith as
we
were sitting here.
And Susan.
So I think we'll be able to post it, if not tomorrow morning, first thing Monday morning, so we have our noticing period before the 14th.
And because of that, we will not be able to increase impact fees until February. Okay. We technically could do it in the middle of January, but
Yeah. So sorry, to answer your earlier question, Mike, that's part of the reason we moved forward with the 8% increase today is so that it could be effective January 1st. Otherwise, we haven't given 30 days notice.
So when is this? The next meeting is
December 14th.
December 14th. And that's,
which is the regular scheduled date.
And we will vote on recommending the
high elevation pumping surcharge and the impact fee rate.
Yeah.
You will vote to approve those.
Yeah.
Okay. That's... And hopefully the agenda will be pretty light that night.
So far, it's just those two items and Sam's capital facilities review for 2023.
Fast.
Okay, then Lisa, we're on to you.
There you go. So this is the annual fraud risk assessment questionnaire. There's no action required by the board. The state just asks that we present it to the board annually. This was adopted by the Utah State Auditor back in 2020, and we've completed the fraud risk assessment every year since then. It is required to be done annually. And this really just kind of identifies best practices for internal controls in the district. This has not changed from last year. It's the same questionnaire and the same assessment has been performed. The two items that we don't get the full credit on, again, it's the internal audit function, and we've talked about this in the past, just due to the size of our organization, an internal audit function would be, or an internal audit department would be resource intensive for the district. And the other question that we don't get full points for is a formal audit committee. Again, we're a small organization and a formal audit committee hasn't been established, but we do have a finance committee that's comprised of the entire district that reviews the audit and the budget every year. So because of those two items, we are not in the very low risk category, but we fall in a low risk category like we have in the past. So this hasn't changed from previous years, but if anybody has any questions on this, I'm happy to take them. The next item is the annual notice of scheduled meetings for 2024. We post this at the beginning of the year, and I'll post this on the Utah Notice website. As far as dates for possible, that we possibly may want to talk about changing, April 18th, that is the spring recess for Park City, which is the 15th through the 19th this year. So we may want to consider moving that either up to the 11th or back to the 25th.
And let me throw this out there too. As of today, our groundbreaking is tentatively listed for April 15th. So we may want to even move that.
With CRSA, move our groundbreaking to an open date.
Is that what you're saying? Well, yeah, if it's going to be a conflict and we can't get people here, I'd like to get people there to participate in that.
Lisa, can we publish this, please? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we have a conflict on January 18th.
So. January 18th. Yeah. So this is the time we can talk about these. And if we want to make changes, we can do that now so that we have our regularly published schedule and public notice process. What does everybody think?
I'll be out of town on February 15th, but you might all enjoy that. It'll be a lot shorter meeting.
I think that's that might be the only week I am in town in February.
I think I'm okay.
Yeah, I didn't go through the entire schedule, but I went through the first six, I believe, and I didn't have any significant ones other than the one you just mentioned, the break for schools. Mm-hmm. I likely won't be here that week.
Yeah. So we can move forward with, we can try to change January. We could go to the 11th or the 25th. Or we can hold it and the vice can do it. I don't know.
What do you guys think? I have to go visit my mother. I keep kicking that can down the road.
We can help you.
Yeah. I'm good with either the 11th or the 25th.
Yeah.
I'm fine with either of those.
Okay.
What works for you?
Yeah, what's better for you?
Either one. Either one works for me. So do you want to go earlier or is it easier to go?
I mean, I think it's...
25th probably be better because I could have some year-end numbers by then. January 11th would be tight to have year-end numbers.
Right? That's our answer.
Okay.
I was about to go the other way. It's like, oh, if we're meeting on the 14th of December, why not early? But that's a better reason.
Yeah, we can get some good year-end numbers. Okay, so we'll move the January 18th to the 25th.
Not that it matters, but I'll attend by Zoom because I'll be in Florida by then.
Okay.
Heck yeah, you will.
I do what my boss wants.
That's right.
That's right. Happy wife, happy life.
Listen up.
For the April 18th meeting, do you want to push that one to the 25th as well, the week after the spring break?
That's probably easier, right?
It's a little bit easier for us. Just getting numbers earlier is more problematic. So Steve has a good number set by the 25th. Okay.
On board.
So we'll move that to the 25th. I think the rest of them, well, I know the rest of them don't fall any holidays or school breaks. Thanksgiving is on the 28th this year, so the 21st should be fine. And the last one is the December 12th is the second Thursday just because we get close to Christmas if we do it on the third Thursday.
Yep.
So if everyone's good with that, with those two changes to the 25th and January and April, I just need a motion to approve.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the schedule as adjusted?
So
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. That's unanimous. Thank you. Okay, and I think that's it for you, Lisa.
Yeah.
Okay, on to you, Andy.
So in the packet, there is a memo that as I was writing, some people might think, well, we're just doing our job. But it really doesn't explain everything that the district does to keep the well-oiled machine going. And so unless anyone has any questions about specifics about what was in the memo, I would like to, and Ian did point out, I didn't put in a specific ask, but per policy, I would like to recommend that the board approve a $1,500 per employee proportional to the amount of months that they worked in 2023 for approval.
And that's the same as we did last year. Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move we proceed with the $1,500 per employee with a reallocation or prorate if necessary.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, that's unanimous.
Typically at this time of year is when we would talk about the Schedule D, how much surplus water we may or may not have. And as we have done last year, we are recommending 0 gallon, 0 acre feet be put on the Schedule D, for, 2024 through 2028. That's just informational.
Yep.
It's possible in the future with a treatment plant expansion, there may be surplus water in the future, but at this point, it's not something that we'd like to recommend. Several weeks ago, I asked Lisa to help me put together, an employee survey, and I sent each of you an email, of the full survey. And the purpose of the survey is I wanted people to tell me things that they wouldn't tell me to my face. I want to know how they felt or how they feel, that we as a district are doing, how they think I am doing, as a general manager, what are their concerns? What are the things that, we may or may not be able to change or improve on? And so, you know, overall, I'm pleased with the results. It's something that I would like to see us do every year, and then even maybe drill it down another level of department managers and things like that, just to get a pulse. The biggest thing that seems to come up year after year after year is communication. How can we communicate better? I don't think we need to introduce a new system, a new program. I think we just need to, one of the things we will need to do better is just get together more often if we're spread out. But I think people felt comfortable making comments. I don't know if there was anything really eye-opening or earth-shattering in there, but then I think Joel, I think your personnel, and maybe Mike, are you personnel? I don't know who the other person is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you can use this information as you do my review for this year, if you choose to. But you know, overall, yeah, I mean, is everyone 100% happy? No, but this is their opportunity for them to express their opinion, and so. Just as a first step of gauging where people are after, you know, 18 months of me being here, I think it was useful information.
Yeah, I picked up some sense of people saying, you know, it's expensive to live up here, you know, sort of wages and you know, inflation is important.
Yeah, and so that is, you know, it's concerning as we look at how we grow the next group of leaders of the district if they feel like they can't be here. And how, and what do we do to help keep them here? I know there's a different philosophy at the council level of what a COLA or a merit should look like. And there's a thought of maybe taking that to a bonus level, but and please don't take this wrong, but a $1,500 bonus is not going to make the difference of being able to buy a house or not buy a house. And I don't know how you can change that. So we as an administrative group sat down and looked at, you know, what are some of the things we can change. There was a thought about going to PTO as opposed to vacation and sick. You know, there's some embedded rules with that. So if you accrue so much vacation time, you don't take it, you stop accruing it. Once you get to 400 hours of sick time, you stop accruing it. I mean, there's all these different, you know, guardrails around it. But overall, I mean, I think people are really positive, about the district. And so I wanted you to see the unfiltered results.
Appreciate that.
You know, the only thing that concerns me is things are going to change. I mean, it comes in cycles. What are we going to do when prices drop, gas drops, maybe some other things? How housing costs may go down a little bit. But, I mean, we've looked at the one side. What about the other? I don't have an answer.
I don't have an answer either, other than to say I can only deal with what I know today.
Okay.
If housing price, I mean, the average housing price, the median housing price in Summit County is 1.7.
At least, yeah.
So in order for someone to be able to afford that, you're going to need $300,000 or $400,000 a year in annual salary. If they come down to a level, even if they go from 1.7 to 1.5, it still is not affordable. And I know the county is talking about affordable housing or attainable housing, but does that mean that all of our employees need to live in row houses with no yards to be able to afford? I mean, my bet is more than 50% of our employees have other sources of income. And when you operate a a system that's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you know, that's a difficult work-life balance too, because we expect them to be available within an hour of our call. And even that, even if you're not on call, I mean, some of the guys that are on call do get a little extra spit to, you know, take the phone home and answer the calls, but they're also giving up their time. So it's something that we need to look at, as a district and figure out what are the things that we can change, or try to change or work to change.
My only recommendation is if you notice that things are starting to change or they have changed, maybe we should get together a group to discuss what we're going to do about whatever.
Yeah, no. And, you know, even today, I kind of a tongue in cheek, but, you know, 2034 is the next Olympics. We're 10 years out. 10 years from now, except for Sam, most of us won't be retired. Most of us will be retired.
I'll be dead.
You're not being dead. We'll bury you in some park.
Okay. Yeah. By the lady's house.
Yeah.
You
were you haunted or
you know, we'll put you under one of the pipes. Yeah. The bedding.
Yeah.
You're still bedding right now. We'll make you the bed.
Okay. Okay.
We'll buy the deal. Free of charge.
Yes, right.
But as we now look at a 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan, we have to consider what is the impact on the Olympics going to be on the district? Because most of us seriously will not be here.
No, I agree.
Even Dave will be retired.
It was crazy with that last Olympics. I mean, we were doing some work for Park City, and the EPA comes in and says, we want to understand your water system. We want to know how you're secure. We want your water model. We want to go over this with you. And there was quite a workload associated, and they wanted monitoring, and they wanted...
And so when Joel asked the question, are you monitoring your system? Yeah, those are the things that we're thinking about.
They wanted the manhole covers well with that.
We still have remnants of it in the district where there are big concrete blocks over well heads that weren't there before the Olympics. You know, they're locked out and with locks over the manhole covers. But they're still there.
There's a preparation cost.
Is there any state or Olympic Committee money available and associated with any of that?
I mean, right now I think it's too soon since it's...
Of course.
But, you know, we'll go after whatever we can. But it just makes it's a totally different dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah, the security side of it alone has got to be a huge expense.
Last time too. But we're all on call people.
Yeah.
Can we implement a temporary sales tax? Everything sold within 5 months of that?
No, but there will be, I mean, what we did last time, is we required Slot to go through a conditional use permit process. And in that conditional use process, we had all of the service providers come in and talk about, you know, what they were going to need as a result. And I mean, we had a number of different memorandums of agreement that were exhibits to the conditional use permit for fire, for law enforcement, for health department. And I would imagine whoever's sitting in my seat will do the same thing. I'm bequeathing to them an entire
library.
Well, an entire filing cabinet full of the 2002 Winter Games. But that was a tough thing at the time because Locke didn't want to go through it. And I don't know that the legislature really wanted them to go through it, but we set that precedent, and Fraser Bullock, who's in charge, was there in 2002, went through it. So he already knows what he has to go through in Summit County. in order to get the approvals. And I would imagine just like the 2002 games, there will be a lot of different committees that will include SLOC, but also local government, on various aspects of the games. Whether that be law enforcement committees or utility committees. Because obviously there are going to be issues. I still remember our, the guy who we had in charge of our cell towers going up on a snowmobile to fix one of the towers. And the FBI black helicopters came in and almost took him out. And so those kinds of things are going to have to be vetted out beforehand, but we've done it before.
Looks like we're going to have to hire, another staff member.
Right. And so that's the impact on the district, right? That adds cost that, I mean,
somebody to go to all those meetings.
Yeah.
Coordinate all.
So I don't know if anyone has any specific questions on the employee survey or.
Well, it seemed like there was a lot about the paid time off. Is there anything we can do about that, or are we kind of hamstrung by the county and their rules?
I think we're going to explore it. That's okay. One of the things I want to do next year is to explore options there. So, yeah, that's definitely on one of my to-do lists next year.
Yeah, I mean, this graph is definitely, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's all related to the PTO, vacation, or sick. So, that's definitely a highlight from this. Health insurance, ended up, I think, the most really valued, which makes sense. It's a good plan. It's really beneficial. We need to do more, promoting of what an awesome benefit that really is, because I think we need to highlight that. Some of the other things I think we took away from the meeting that we had with Andy, just going over the results, is just the more education on some of our benefits with employees. Sometimes, it gets lost and new employees come on, and even though we talk about them, some messaging gets missed. So I am going to hold next year just kind of like a review of our benefits and give that sense of the value of them, but also just some of the smaller ones that in the weeds that maybe don't jump out at people, like the base and rec benefit that we have that you and a spouse can get a 50% discount on, and some of those other things. We did also talk about, as far as, trying to make things equitable. We hadn't raised our cell phone reimbursement from $75 in a while. So I think we have the ability in our budget to do an extra $5. So that would go to $80 a month, which I think can help just inflation wise. So we did come up with quite a few action items that I think we can look to in 2024. The other thing that we started going down the path this year was our strategic plan that we were going to look at, that I think we still need to look at, looking at where that is. We did that in 2019, and I think it's another thing. It's been 5 years, so we need to look at our strategic plan next year. So, yeah. It's a good exercise.
Yeah, great. Okay. Anything else, Andy?
No.
Okay, Dave Thomas.
Nope.
Nothing tonight. Does anyone have any questions on department updates?
I had a couple. Brian, could you go through the gulch well a little bit? So the pump went down there. We can't go back in until next year, but it's artesian. Is it just flowing out wherever it's at, or?
So when we upgraded it, we changed the piping to where when it does artesian, it goes to the tank.
Oh, okay.
So we're getting 3 to 5 gallons a minute flowing into the tank right now. So
that's awesome.
When we took over community water, it used to just dump down the road.
Behind the canyons, right?
Huh? Where is it?
It's up at the canyons. It's up community canyons. Water.
If you look at the source, far right canyon with the water tanks and stuff over there.
Right, okay.
So those wells are kind of right above the water tanks.
Yeah.
You generally ski right over it, don't even know.
Yeah.
But if you pump it, you get how much? It's 35 artesian, but.
It levels out about 70.
And do you know what happened to the pump? Like, Why it only, because it only lasts, was it 2 months or 2 weeks or
2 weeks?
Yeah, two weeks. Holy crap.
So we snuck in, got it put in, and Vail kind of closes the mountain down.
Yep.
And Jane did a truck up there, so we're screwed.
So it ran, so he came to troubleshoot it. Nickerson can't get back in there.
Yeah, but you have to snowmobile him up after 4:30 at night.
And well, I agree with your plan. Yeah, wait till spring for that location. But yeah. That's why.
Vail's pretty strict on getting up there.
Yep.
But we'll take the $35 and that's free.
No, that's great. That's way better than I thought.
Yep.
Yeah, the massacre is going to be.
Yeah, we're surprised too. It's like, wow, that's a lot.
Take it. Chris, I've got a Summit Park question for you.
Okay.
What kind of listening were they doing to track that tank one zone leak?
So Brian's crew has it's actually an acoustic setup to listen for leaks. It's an audible thing. They connect it to fire hydrants and valves and so forth, and you're listening to.
So you connect it to the line, and then you just listen for vibrations or?
You're listening for
the hiss.
Hissing noise.
Yeah.
Okay.
But kind of what you're listening for.
And as you move, like if you're moving towards it, it's obviously getting louder, or as you're moving away from it, it's quieter, so you can kind of figure out where leaks are.
And so you're doing that because your SCADA is telling you you do have a leak.
You
have a misbalance.
Yeah, we had a couple.
We know we have a leak in a certain zone, so we'll go out and listen on hydrants and if we find some areas that are noisy, we'll go out and correlate, which will zero in for the exact leak. And so we spent months trying to find these leaks, and they ended up being a discovery.
Hmm.
So.
Oh.
Yeah.
With the new construction.
We had some like services and stuff that were blown off. It just were installed incorrectly.
Wow. Did you hear that, Joel? Another neighborhood. It wasn't someone else.
I'm not saying a word.
Wow.
I'm not saying a word.
Man, that's highlight of the night for me.
Several leaks in community water too.
Yep. Yeah, keep it coming. and then the intrusion updates, was that the cameras we were talking about earlier?
And also door intrusion screen. We've had some motion sensors in some places that are getting old and failing, and so we're changing over to a mechanical door switch. So we're just working on a continuing site-by-site changeover on all that.
Best practice.
Yeah, and it's requiring some conduit work and so forth. So, yeah.
Cool. Thank you. It's great.
Okay. Any other questions on department updates? Then do we need to go into executive session?
We do not.
Excellent. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Stand adjourned at 11:33.